whatsoever. I want to do something this morning that flows on from last week when we looked at faith and what it was to have biblical Christian faith and how important it was that we understood the workings of faith. This week, the title of the sermon is, Are We Trusting People? And you can actually look at that question in two different ways. Are we trusting people, or are we trusting people? And I would suggest to you that the answer to each of those, although different, all really come to the same conclusion. Are we trusting people, or are we completely trusting in God? Are we really fully putting our faith and our trust completely in God? We've heard lots of references to it this morning. Now, the word that the Bible uses for trust, when you translate it, says a bold, confident, sure security or action based on that security. Trust is not the same as faith, not completely the same as the word faith. We know that faith, as we saw last week, is a gift from God. The faith that we have in God is a gift from God so that we can believe and have faith in Him. Trust is what we do because of the faith that God has given us. Trusting is believing in the promises that God has given. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what's going on in our lives, we trust in all His promises, and we trust in the fact that He is the sovereign Lord who created the universe and knows us intimately. Even when everything around us is falling apart, we believe and we trust in all of God's promises. You know, we looked at last week at Hebrews 11 about faith, that faith is about accepting and believing all that God has revealed about Himself. And obviously, supremely in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. But the practical outworking of that faith in God is trust. We prove our faith in God by the way we trust in His promises. We prove our faith in God by living according to His promises and trusting in the outcome according to God's will. So we live day by trusting in God's provision. And it is biblical that by trusting God, by living and according to His promise and trusting Him, that is where real peace is found. Real peace. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, "You, that is God, will keep in peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts you." True peace is by trusting in God completely and utterly and in nothing else. So I want us to ask ourselves now, do we truly trust God, or do we just go through the motions? Because that's the point that Jesus makes in Luke's reading, in the Gospel of Luke that we had in chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Take a look. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke, because we're going to go through the whole chapter here. We're going to look at this through this chapter, and especially this reading this morning. What Jesus is saying here is that His Heavenly Father, and He as well as God, is completely and utterly in control of absolutely everything. And because of that, we have nothing to fear. Our lives should not be governed by fear. Because God loves us and he looks after us. That's the whole point of what Jesus is saying in those two verses. Let's read it. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. What are sparrows? They're little tiny birds. To us, they're small and inconsequential. In fact, in the book, in the days of this period of Jesus' contemporary, they were food. They were often caught and used for food. There wouldn't be much on them, mind you. You'd be picking bones out of them. But they were eaten. And what God is saying here is that we're more important than sparrows. He knows us. He loves us. In fact, God has labeled us. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. He lives in us if we are his. This is so intimate, so personal, so deep. In fact, Matthew's gospel adds a bit more to this as well. Matthew 10, verse 29 says, are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father, of the Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. What? Aren't you worth more than all the sparrows? So what Jesus is saying here is that God determines the outcomes of our lives, our birth and our death. He is in control of every event on this earth. Now, there are other implications with that, I admit. He doesn't condone evil, but he allows events to take place. He determines much in our lives that we just pass off. It's gone. But we don't realize that God providentially has been working through that in our lives for his glory, for our good. In the book of Romans, it tells us, doesn't it, that all things work for the good of those who have been called and loved by God. Some things? No, all things. All things. So I'm going to ask you again, as we sit here, do we really trust God completely? Because if we're not, then we're putting our faith in something else. We're putting our faith in ourselves or other people or in things, in wealth, in prosperity, in our jobs. And that is an offense to God if we truly know him. I believe God is asking us this morning. He's asking us today whether you and I, whether we really, truly, explicitly trust in him. Do we truly believe that he is an awesome, mighty, powerful, loving, caring God, the God who is the creator, the sovereign over all things, over everything? Do we truly believe that, or do we just give lip service to it? Oh yeah, you're sovereign, Lord, and then I fret over the little things. And I rely on other things. See, it's very easy to say it, but not actually live it. If we're not really believing it, if we're not really living it, if we're not living in accordance with it, but merely mouthing the words, we're actually saying something that we don't actually believe. And we will live our lives as a result of what we believe. How will we live if we do not trust God? Well, Luke has the answers for us. In the whole of Luke chapter 12, and I'm just going to zoom through it, and I want you to pick out the verses as I bring them. See, normally we break these passages down, which is good, but we lose the overall message. And I believe Jesus, in this whole passage of Scripture, is saying one thing. Trust God. Because if we're not trusting God, how will we live? Well, the first thing Jesus picks up in this passage is the Pharisees. What were they? How did he view them? Hypocrites. He wasn't short in saying to them, you're like whitewashed tombs. You're all white on the outside, but inside you're rotten. You put on religion. You put on all this act. In your heart, you're evil. You're wicked. He despised them. He loathed the Pharisees because they were play-acting. They were wearing a mask. That's what the word hypocritical means. It's to do with play-acting and wearing a mask. Living a dual life, saying one thing and living another. And Jesus has said, whatever you are doing that is of hypocrisy will be exposed. Nothing will remain hidden. It will always, and it will finally be exposed. So there's no point as God's people trying to live a dual life, because you will not fool God. You might fool others, but you will not fool God. Secondly, if we're not trusting God, we'll be more fearful of men than we will be of God. You know, and Jesus just pulls no punches here, does he? He says, fear God, because he's the one that can destroy the soul and put you in hell. This is Jesus, the Son of God, saying this. No, don't fear men, fear God. Don't be afraid of what they think. Think more about what God thinks, is what Jesus is saying. He's the one that determines life and death, not people. He has control over your soul, possession of your soul. If we are his, we can look forward to heaven. If we're not, we can only expect hell. If we're not living and trusting in God, we'll be slack in our faithfulness to Christ. We'll be slack in our witness to him, because we're fearful. We fear men more than we fear God. And so we don't even believe and trust truly in the gospel message that Jesus has lovingly given us, that we have shared in. See, we show people that we're not fully convinced that it is the truth. We hesitate. Oh, I might get it wrong. God is sovereign. He can take the worst effort and turn it into a triumph. But if we sit and say and do nothing, nothing will happen. We need to be tuned into God's Holy Spirit, led so that he can give us the words to say if we're truly living that life of wonderful union with him. If we're not trusting God, we will fail to recognize the hand of God. We will fail to see the work of the Holy Spirit. So many Christians fear the Holy Spirit. They fear things of the Spirit for some reason. Probably an overreaction to the charismatic and the Pentecostal movement. We get to be overcautious and we squash the Holy Spirit. We quench the Spirit. We doubt who and what God has brought to us. If we're not trusting God, what will we be like? We'll be like the rich fool that we see there in verses 16 and 21. The one that amassed his possessions, stored them all away for a rainy day, built up his retirement fund. You worry about the future. You worry about the next dollar. You worry about what you do and don't have. What will we be like? How will we live? If we don't trust God, we will not be dressed ready for service. There's a warning here. You know, the Lord has given us a wonderful blessing, and there is much expected from us. You know, being a Christian is not a place of retirement, it's actually a place of activity. We are expected to pass on this good news to other people that God has shared with us and given us. See, much will be asked of us. We are expected to be a living testimony, a living witness to others of the grace of God. We are to serve in the local church. We are to belong to the local church. We are to donate and contribute to the working of the church in every way. We are to be generous people. We are to give what we have in a way of offering to other people who are worse off than we are. We have no excuse, it tells us in verse 47. He says, those who know will be beaten with many blows. Don't think that we'll just slip into heaven without some judgment as God's people. We will have to give an account of what we've done with the grace that God has given us. Believe me. Yes, you'll get there, but only by the skin of your teeth, Paul says. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. We have no excuse. He expects a lot from us. How will we live if we don't trust God? We'll live like the world. We'll live in harmony with everybody. We will not cause offense. That's a problem in Jesus' eyes. Because he says, if you live for me, you will be an offense. They hated him. There'll be times when people will hate us because of Christ in us. The gospel message brings division in the world. And how we live if we do not trust God will be spiritually blind to the urgency of the times. We'll be complacent. We'll say, oh, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Look at the world and say, isn't it wonderful? Look at all our wonderful technology and all that man can do. It's evil and corrupt. God's created world is wonderful. But we have to see the sin and the corruption that is in it because of mankind. Let's not be drawn into being complacent and compromising with the world. Jesus said to the crowd, not to the Pharisees, he said to the crowd around him, hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, the sunset and the sunrise. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? That was 2,000 years ago. You know how to tell the good, but you don't see the times. This is 2,000 years on. How more corrupt has the world become than from then? And we fail to see the urgency of the moment. But let's turn that around. Let's turn that around now. What will it be like if we are trusting God? If we really do trust his promises? It means that we won't live like a hypocrite. It means that we will be all that Jesus wants us to be. We will have this wonderful, beautiful life of Christ through us, overflowing with Christ to other people, his grace, his love. We will believe and trust in God. And when God says, get up and go, we will get up and go. When he says, do this, we will go and do it. We won't go questioning, oh, can I really afford that? Have I really got the time? Oh, I've got other priorities before I go and do that. We will just go and do. We will be an encouragement to other believers, an encouragement to our families, to non-believers. We will be a wonderful witness of God's redeeming grace. How infectious would that be? If we're trusting God, we will fear God rather than men. We want to please God, not please men. We want to share the truth with them, no matter how hard that might be. We will have confidence to speak even when we receive hostility. We will still have confidence to speak because we trust God rather than we trust men. We fear him more than we fear others. You know, when we fear death, we're actually saying to God, I don't really trust you. We should not fear death. Death is just one passing into one glorious, glorious life. With God, we must be absolutely confident in our future and never doubt God. How will be if we're trusting God? We'll be absolutely faithful. We will be acknowledging and witnessing Christ. We will be reconcilers. We will be ambassadors for Christ. We will seek first his kingdom, not our little kingdom on earth, but his kingdom on earth. How will be if we trust God? We won't fail to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit. We will be discerning of the spirits, as it says in 1 John chapter 4. We'll be able to test the spirits. We will know what is of God and what isn't of God. We won't live like the rich fool who stores up treasures on earth where it rusts. And I looked at all my equipment in my garage the other day that cost me a lot of money to buy, and it's gone all rusty. So it was all shiny one day, and now it's all rusty. Eventually it will be nothing. But I need to be storing up treasures in heaven. I need to have a really good account there. My treasure is in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be bringing up and raising up credit. Not that we earn our way there. Absolutely not. It's purely through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to be storing up our treasures in heaven, because that's where we will end up for all eternity. How will it be if I'm trusting God? I won't worry about life. I won't worry about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, what house I have, what car I'm going to have. No, I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They'll be the priorities in our life. And we will be dressed, ready for service. We'll have our wicks trimmed, our lamps will be full of oil, we'll have spare oil. We'll be waiting for the Lord to come and doing his will and his purpose whilst we wait, ready for his return. Our light will be shining out, not hiding under a bowl, but shining out to the world like a city on a hill. We'll be like salt, bringing freshness, vitality, life around us, not trampled underfoot. We will not be in harmony with everybody around us if we're truly living for Christ. If we really trust God, we will be out of harmony with some people. Because the gospel brings offences. I preached a few weeks ago the foolishness of the cross. The world sees the cross as absolute foolishness. How can you believe such nonsense? It divides. Jesus said, I have come and I will bring division. The gospel, by the grace of God, brings such wonderful healing. And each one of us should be a testimony to that healing in our lives. We will be spiritually awake, tuned in to what's going on around us. Not wandering around with our eyes blinking going, oh, look at all this wonderful stuff that's going on. This world is full of evil. It's full of corruption. The world system is corrupt. I tire from hearing people say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Go to people in Africa who are starving and saying, oh, peace to you, brother. And here in Australia, we chuck more food away than we actually eat. This is a wonderful world? We need to be tuned in what's going on around us by people perishing, going to a Christless eternity. We need to be realize that, like Paul, we have an obligation. We're obligated to these people to share the truth with them. If they reject it, they reject it. But we must share the truth with them. We must bring them to a place where they realize their greatest need is the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be prepared to give up our own personal preferences, our own personal needs, for the benefit of other people around us. We must see the urgency of the times. What is the solution? What is the answer to all this? Jesus urges those around him not to compare themselves with others and say, well, I'm not doing too bad a job. I'm doing a bit more than that person in the church is doing. No, he wants us to compare ourselves with him. And then we will see that we fall short. We need to see ourselves as sinners saved by grace. We need to see others as sinners that need to be saved as we were saved, and to share the good news with them. We need to repent of our apathy and our laziness and our comfort and our compromise with the world. We need to repent and change. We need to be out there telling people we need to change, so that people will see that we are serious about trusting God and knowing God. So hopefully, brothers and sisters, we see how important this whole question is. Are we trusting people? Are we really, truly trusting God? Is our complete trust in God? It's so important. It's so important for our understanding and for our living the Christian life. If we don't have a wonderful view, this mighty view of a sovereign God, a loving God, but a mighty, powerful God, God that should be feared because of his power, if we don't have that right view of God, then we live no different than the rest of the world. We won't have the right emphasis in our lives. To be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be overwhelmed with his grandeur and his greatness. Because if we don't, then we're nothing more than excess baggage in the church. We're totally ineffective in reaching out to other people. And we will be discarded when the Lord returns, because there are those that the Lord will say, get away from me, I don't know you. I don't want to be one of those. In fact, I know in my heart I won't be one of those. No, if we want a mantra, if we want a real Christian mantra, how about Proverbs 3:5? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And certainly don't rely on the world and other people and things. Trust only in God. Amen. Amen. We'll sing our final song. Tim's mum's favourite hymn.